如刚才说，我们接下来的一段时间都会一起来看马太福音。
So just now I already mentioned in the following time, we would start looking at the Gospel of Matthew.
特别在看的过程中去留意神借着主耶稣基督去吩咐我们的教导。
Especially to focus our attention on the Lord Jesus' teaching.
那我们选择马太福音作为周日敬拜的信息，主要有两个原因。
There are actually two reasons for choosing this particular gospel as our new series.
第一个原因是跟教会的方向跟使命是有关系的。
The first reason has to do with the overall direction of our church and the mission that God has granted us.
之前梁牧师曾经跟我们分享，这一次在香港营会所听到的重要的信息。
If you recall, Pastor Joe shared with us the important message we heard from our Easter Joint Camp in Hong Kong back in April.
是关于主耶稣所吩咐门徒的这个大使命。
And it was to do with the Great Commission given to the disciples by Jesus.
主耶稣吩咐他的门徒要去到不同的民族中间，使他们做耶稣基督的门徒。
And Jesus commanded his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations.
把正确纯正的福音去带给不同的民族。
And to share with them the true, the pure gospel with people from all nations.
那若是我们作为一个教会的整体要去回应主耶稣所托付的这个使命，那我们要留心看他的话。
So as a church, if we want to fulfill this great commission,We must pay attention to the Lord Jesus' words.
特别这里说到第二十节，主耶稣说：“凡我所吩咐你们的，都要教训他们遵守。”
Especially in verse 20, it says, "Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you."
那这里主耶稣的吩咐是一切的，凡他所吩咐的，都要去教训，他们。
Here, the Lord Jesus' command is.To teach others to observe all that he has commanded us.
而不是只是一部分的教导。
And not just part of his teaching.
这也是为什么我们接下来要去看马太福音的其中一个重要的原因。
And this is one of the main reasons we have to study the Gospel of Matthew together.
除非我们自己首先明白神借着耶稣所吩咐我们的教导，也行在当中，我们才可以去帮助其他人。
Because if we don't first study and understand what Jesus has taught us, how are we to share with other people?
那这是第一个重要的原因。
So this is the first important reason.
那第二个原因是因为神的话语是可以带来生命的改变的。
The second reason is because God's word brings life.
那对我们每一个人来说，能够去经历到神的救恩，能够经历到生命，也是神所盼望我们可以得到的。
And God longs for every one of us to experience salvation, to experience new life in Him.
而那些曾经听过主耶稣的教导被忠实的解释出来的人，他们也是用心去回应的这些的人呢，都会经历到神的话语是蛮有力量的，也是带来生命的改变的。
And for those who have heard the teaching of our Lord and have actually responded faithfully to God's word, they will experience God's word is powerful.And God's word brings about transformation in their lives.
他们的生命就不会再一样。
So their lives will no longer be the same.
那其中一个真实的例子就是在加拿大的马蒂可。
So one real example I want to share is in Montreal in Canada.
在1970年代开始，那张西尔牧师就开始讲这个马太福音的信息。
Went back all the way to the 1970s when Pastor Eric Chang started to preach on the Gospel of Matthew.
他也是很忠于圣经的去解释。
And he was very faithful to God's word.
那当时候有很多的年轻人。
And back then, there were a lot of young people.
当他们也是用心灵明白神的话语也去回应的时候，他们的生命就完全的被改变过来。
And when these young people responded,Their lives were completely changed.
我们当中也有当时还在场的见证人。
And we've actually got witnesses sitting here today with us who were present when Pastor Eric gave those sermons.
所以神的话语是有力量跟能力的。
So God's word is powerful.
那 我们今年有机会去香港的弟兄姐妹或者是朋友，也有机会见证到一些主的话语的能力。
And for those of us who had the privilege to attend the Hong Kong Easter Camp, Joint Camp, you should have had a taste of the power of God's Word.
记得菲弟兄曾经分享，哇，他就很感叹啊，神借着张信和牧师可以帮助到这么多的人，到现在好像这么多的教会可以聚在一起。
And just like what Brother Fai shared, he was totally amazed at God's work through one person, Pastor Eric. From him, then there come so many churches today, and we were able to gather together and worship God together.
那这个关键就是啊，我们要忠实的去明白啊主耶稣的教导。
So the key actually lies in understanding God's word through Jesus' teaching faithfully.
所以接下来一段时间接下来这个系列里面，让我们也用一个期待的心，一个愿意遵行主耶稣教导的心去明白。
So I hope we can all come with anticipation and also a heart willing to respond as we begin our series on the Gospel of Matthew.
那也仰望神带领我们去活出他的话语，可以承担这个大使命的这个托付。
And let us look to God to guide us in fulfilling the Great Commission.
那接下来我们就进入到马太福音的这个内容。
So now let us start looking at the passage in Matthew.
那马太福音大家应该都不难猜到是马太去写的。
So it shouldn't be hard to guess who the author was for the Gospel of Matthew. It was Matthew.
当然背后都有神的灵去推动着这个作者去记录这些的事情。
But of course, Matthew was inspired by God to record all these teaching.
那马太是谁呢？
So who's Matthew?
我们当中的年轻人有没有人知道？
For our young ones here, our youths, does anyone know who Matthew is?
他的职业或者是他的身份是什么呢？
What was Matthew's occupation?
Victor, do you know?
He's shaking his head. Stephen is helping.
So, Stephen 弟兄给了一点点的小小的帮助。
So, Brother Stephen is giving him a hint.
对 Victor 说他是一个税吏，本来是一个税吏。
So, Victor answered correctly. Matthew was actually a tax collector.
那税吏他们是做什么的呢？
So, what do tax collectors do?
当然是收税的咯。
Well, obviously, they collect tax.
但是当时候是有一个背景的。
But there was the background to this.
因为犹太人他们受到神的管教，因为他们对神不忠心的缘故就亡国了。后来他们在耶稣的时代被罗马帝国所统治。
Because the Israelites disobeyed God and God had to discipline them. So eventually the nation of Israel actually 亡国。Yeah, and ended. So the nation perished. So, and so they fell under the rule of the Romans later on.
那这些的税吏就是为罗马政府工作的一些的人。
So these tax collectors are people who worked for the Roman government or the Roman Empire.
那他们也是犹太人，但是是向自己的同胞去收税。
But these tax collectors were actually Jews themselves, except they collected tax on behalf of the Romans.
所以好多当时候的犹太人他们是瞧不起这些为这个敌国工作的这些的犹太人。
So these tax collectors were usually despised because they were working for their enemies.
看他们做是卖国贼。
So they were seen as betrayers.
Yeah?
Is there such a word? People who betray. Yeah.
那特别这些的收税的人，他们有些时候也为了自己的利益，多收他同胞的这些税，去放在自己的口袋里。
What's more, they often collected more than they should, so they tried to make profit from collecting tax from their own people.
所以马太本来是这样的一类的人。
So Matthew was actually someone like that to start with.
当福音神的福音借着主耶稣去临到他的时候。
But when the gospel came to Matthew,
那马太的生命有一个转折点。
There was a turning point in Matthew's life.
当他珍惜这个悔改的机会的时候，回应主耶稣呼召他做自己的门徒，那他的生命就不再一样。
His life completely changed when he responded to Jesus' call to become his disciple.
那他就不再为短暂的国度还有金钱去劳力了。
So he was no longer working for a temporary kingdom, but, so he wasn't living for money or for a kingdom that will perish anymore.
而是为了神永恒的国度还有那些真正宝贵的事情而努力。
But to strive for God's kingdom and for things that have eternal value.
那这是马太他这个作者的一个简单的一个介绍。
So this is a brief introduction about the author of the Gospel of Matthew.
那今天我们从第一节去看起。
So today we are going to start from verse 1.
去看到这个十七章。
And we'll read from verse 1 all the way to 17.
那这段经文的内容是关于主耶稣基督的家谱的。
And this passage is actually about Jesus' genealogy.
大家知道家谱是什么吗？
Do you all know what a genealogy is?
在英文有一个词叫做 family tree.
So we probably know family tree in English.
就是当我们去找我们的祖先的时候，好像这个树一样，这个有分支的这样子。
So, when we try to trace back, who our ancestors were, it kind of branch out like a tree.
那或者是中文也有这个寻根这个词。
And in Chinese, we have this expression about finding our root.
所以今天我们的内容啊。主要的是看这个耶稣基督的家谱。
So today's message is based on Jesus' genealogy.
但因为时间的缘故，我们就不会一节一节的去看。
But because of time constraint, we are not going to read out every single verse.
而是看当中关键的几节经文。
But we'll pick out several key verses.
帮助我们对整段经文有一个熟悉可以了解。
To help us understand a bit more about this entire passage.
让我们来看第一节。
So let us start with verse 1.
这里说大卫的子孙亚伯拉罕的后裔，耶稣基督的家谱。
The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham.
那这里马太提到列出耶稣基督家谱的这个目的。
Here Matthew tells us clearly the purpose of listing out Jesus' genealogy.
他清楚地提到耶稣基督是大卫的子孙，是亚伯拉罕的子孙。
He clearly states that Jesus Christ is the son of David. The son here means descendant, the son of David and the son of Abraham.
那这里我们看到他的次序是大卫的子孙，然后是亚伯拉罕的子孙。
Here we notice the order. First, David was mentioned and then Abraham.
但是和合本就没有把这个次序翻译过来。英文跟这个新译本都按照它原本的次序去翻出来了。
But the Chinese translation that most of us have actually do not reflect this order, this particular order. So only in the new translation in Chinese that in English reflects the order as which is the same as the original.
就是大卫好像放在了亚伯拉罕的前面。
So actually, David was mentioned before Abraham.
那这个次序是重要的，一会我们也会看到为什么。
And this order is actually important, and we'll look at that a bit later.
那在第二节之后呢，那就开始去描述，从亚伯拉罕开始说起，他的后代是谁。
And from verse 2 onwards, the descendants of Abraham are listed out.
那到第六节也有节重要的经文，就是谈到大卫王。
And when we come to verse 6, which is also an important verse, King David is mentioned.
我们看到大卫也出现在这个家谱里面。
So we notice that King David actually appears in this genealogy of Jesus Christ.
然后一直去到16节，去谈到约瑟。
And when we come to verse 16, Joseph is mentioned.
那约瑟在这里有趣的一点就是并没有说他生了耶稣。
But what's interesting is that here, when Joseph was mentioned, nothing was mentioned about him being the father of Jesus.
而是描述他是耶稣母亲玛利亚的丈夫。
Instead, he was described as the husband of Mary, who's the mother of Jesus.
那这一点我们在之后的信息也会详细的去看为什么。
And about this particular point, we'll leave it to our messages later on.
而第十七节也是我们今天这段内容的最后一节，很好的帮我们总结了这个家谱。
And verse 17 is the last verse of this passage that we are looking at today, and it actually nicely summarizes the whole genealogy.
这里说，这样从亚伯拉罕到大卫共有十四代，从大卫迁到先至巴比伦。时候也有十四代，从迁至巴比伦的时候到基督又有十四代。
Verse 17, all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations.
那做了一张表，大家可以看到这个家谱是怎么进行的。
So I've actually prepared a simple diagram here to show this genealogy.
从亚伯拉罕到大卫是十四代，从大卫到巴比伦是十四代，从巴比伦到耶稣基督又是十四代，总共42代。
So we can see that from Abraham to David, there were 14 generations. From David to Babylon, there's also 14 generations. And from Babylon to when Jesus Christ came, it was also 40 generations. So altogether, there were 42 generations.
那刚才以上我就很快的帮大家去大略的熟悉了这段的经文。
So just now we just quickly got an overview of the entire passage.
但是当我们细细的去想这段的经文，去默想的时候，会发现神重要的关于救恩的心意是隐藏在这段的经文里面的。
But when we actually ponder further about this passage, you would find that God's will concerning our salvation is actually hidden in this passage.
而去留心看而回应的，也可以经历好像之前所说，神的话语是充满力量而带来生命的改变的。
And for those who are willing to pay attention to his word and to respond accordingly, they will surely experience God's word as being powerful and life-changing.
所以今天我们看耶稣基督的家谱，想跟大家分享两个重要的点。
So today, as we study the genealogy of Jesus Christ, we would like to share with you 2 points.
那来看这段经文的第一个重点是在第一节。
And the first main point you can find in verse 1.
那第一节这里我们看到有这里说到大卫的子孙亚伯拉罕的后裔耶稣基督的家谱。
Here verse 1 says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham.
那这里马太已经很清楚的去指出他的家谱里面两位重要的人物。
Here Matthew clearly points out 2 important persons in the whole genealogy of Jesus Christ.
就是大卫跟亚伯拉罕。
And that's David and Abraham.
那当我们去问为什么马太特别指明耶稣基督是出于大卫，也是出于亚伯拉罕， 那究竟他们有什么特别的地方呢？
And as we ask the question why, Matthew particularly points out Jesus Christ as being descended from the son of David and the son of Abraham, we would want to know what's so special about these people.
那我们会发现亚伯拉罕和大卫有一个共通点。
And we would find something in common between David and Abraham.
他们都是曾经与亚伯神立过约的人。
Both of them have actually made a covenant with God.
神曾经把应许赐给他们。
God has promised them.
而特别的地方就是耶稣基督的出生正是神应验了他对大卫还有他对亚伯拉罕的应许。
And what's so special about this is that the birth of Jesus Christ is actually a fulfillment of that promise God has towards Abraham and David.
那神对亚伯拉罕的应许是什么呢？我们一起来看一看。
So let us take a look at what this promise God made to Abraham.
在创世纪的22:17。
Genesis chapter 22 verse 17。
那我们会主要看18节。18节这里说，并且地上万国都必因你的后裔得福，因为你听从了我的话。
But let us read verse 18. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice.
那这个后裔在原文就是种子，也可以翻译成种子的意思。
And the word translated offspring here is actually the word seed in the original.
好像英文所一些的翻译版本是翻译成这个种子。
So you'll find in some English translations it actually has the word seed instead of offspring.
但是它的要表达的也是后裔的意思。
But of course it's trying to express the meaning of offspring.
那这里我们看到神对亚伯拉罕的应许。
So here we see the promise that God made with Abraham.
然后要使他成为大国。
He wants Abraham to become a great nation.
地上的万国都要因他的后裔得福。
And that all the nations of the earth shall be blessed through Abraham.
的后裔。
Oh, shall be blessed through the descendants, the offspring of Abraham.
那这里后裔是单数的，那也是在耶稣基督身上去应验了。
And actually here, if we notice offspring, this word is in singular, so it's actually referring particularly to Jesus Christ himself.
所以我们看到神看重他和亚伯拉罕的约去使他的应许可以成就。
So we can see that God really takes it very seriously, his promise to Abraham.
那确实地上的万族都因着耶稣基督可以经历到从神而来的祝福。
And indeed, all nations of the earth experience blessing through Jesus Christ.
而神对大卫也曾经立过约，给他一个应许。
Similarly, God also made a covenant with King David.
那我们也来看一看这个应许。
Let us look at this promise that God made with David.
在历代志上的17:11-13。
First Chronicles chapter 17 verses 11-13.
那里说，我必使你的后裔接续你的位，我也必坚定他的国。他必为我建造殿宇，我必坚定他的国位直到永远。我要做他的父，他要做我的子。
I will raise up your offspring after you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever.I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son.
那这是神对大卫的一个应许。
And here is a promise God made to David.
那也是成就在耶稣基督的身上的。
And again, it finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ.
因为是借着耶稣基督，神去建立起他的国度。
Because it's through Jesus that God established His kingdom.
那将神的这个救恩计划可以。展开。
And it's through Jesus that God carries out his plan of salvation for mankind.
所以我们看到第一点，我们可以看到神他自己美丽的性情。
So the first point we see here is God's beautiful character.
纵然过了好多的年代，因为从基督一直追溯到大卫，再追溯到亚伯拉罕，都是好多的年日。
Even though so many generations have passed, as we saw when we trace back the genealogy of Jesus Christ, all the way from Jesus to back to David and then back to Abraham.
那他是这么忠诚的去对待曾经与他立约的人，不忘记对他们的应许。
And yet God remains faithful to those with whom he's made a promise.
而当我们继续去默想这个后裔这个字，去追踪这个字在圣经其他的出现，会发现另外一个神在起初给人类的一个盼望。
And as we meditate on the word offspring and trace it in the Bible, we would have a very interesting discovery.
是关于神给人类的一个盼望的。
And it's to do with this hope that God has given the entire human race.
那也是关乎到人类救恩的一个计划。
And it has to do with his plan of salvation for us.
就是当亚当和夏娃落入试探，落入到罪的权势以后呢，那神对这个蛇，就是撒旦有一个宣判。
And it's When Adam and Eve fell into sin, God actually pronounced a punishment to Satan, on Satan.
那这里说，我要叫你和女人彼此为仇，你的后裔和女人的后裔也彼此为仇。女人的后裔要伤你的头，你要伤她的脚跟。
Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring.He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his head. A heel, sorry.
所以在神对撒旦的这个审判里面，我们留心去看的时候，神他自己心意是给人有一个盼望，有一个救恩的计划。
So as we look at this pronouncement of punishment on Satan, we actually can see that God has a wonderful plan for humanconcerning our salvation.
就是有一天神要用女人的后裔给撒旦一个致命伤。
That is, one day God is going to work through the offspring of the woman and to bruise the enemy, Satan.
那这里说到去伤他的头，其实伤到头就是把头压扁了，那其实是一个致命伤来的。
It uses a picture of bruising his head, but actually think about it, head is the crucial part of our body, so it's actually a crucial blow.
那但是在这个过程当中，这个女人的后裔也要受苦。
But in this process, the offspring of this woman would also have to suffer.
所以是一场的征战来的。
So you can see it's actually a warfare, a battle.
所以我们看到在神的救恩计划里，它是给人一个盼望。他要用人去胜过这个罪的势力。
So we can see that in God's plan of salvation, He's given us hope and His promise to help us to overcome sin.
而从这个创世纪这里以来呢，那神就一直为了这个救恩计划去努力。
And ever since this time recorded in Genesis, God has actually been working very hard for our salvation.
就好像耶稣基督的教父，我们看到亚伯拉罕到大卫是十四代，然后到巴比伦又是十四代，到耶稣基督又是十四代。其实，在显明的就是神在不同的时代都是在工作的。
And as we saw from Jesus' genealogy just now, from Abraham to David, it was 14 generations. From David to the time in Babylon, it was 14 generations. And then from the time in Babylon to Jesus Christ.Another 14 generations. So what it was telling us was that all through these generations, God has been working in our, God has been working consistently.
那他是为了人的救恩的计划去发热心。
And he's zealous for our salvation.
那所以从亚当夏娃到亚伯拉罕到大卫到基督到2017年就是现在。神都一直在为人的救恩去工作。
So we can see that all through from Abraham to David, to Jesus Christ, to today, 2017, God has been working for our salvation.
所以我们看到神是这么的美丽，他是这样的忠诚去对待他所创造的人。
So we can see the beauty of God, that He's faithful to those people with whom He's made a covenant.
那当然从观察到这个族谱的这一点里面，我们也看到神不单单是自己去为人的救恩去劳苦，他也邀请那些一些的人去参与在他的救恩计划里面。
And again, from the genealogy, we notice that not only has God been working consistently for our salvation, He actually invites people to participate in this great plan of salvation.
那当中马太为我们所分享重要的人物就是亚伯拉罕还有大卫。
And two people that Matthew points out were Abraham and David.
那这个人类的救主也是从他们这个而来。
And because our Savior actually came from the line of David and traced all the way back to Abraham.
所以亚伯拉罕跟大卫也是参与在神的这个救恩计划里面。
So in this sense, Abraham and David were both participating in God's salvation plan for mankind.
那我们也观察到，当那些，那我们要问，就是为什么神会拣选，这些的人，去参与在他的救恩计划里呢？
But we've got to ask, why did God pick these people to participate in this plan of salvation?
是怎样的人可以参与在他的救恩的计划里面呢？
What kind of people qualify to participate in God's plan of salvation?
是不是一些高贵、很聪明、有才华的人呢？
Is it people who have a good, is it people with high positions or people who are talented and smart?
或许你会觉得，哦，肯定是这样的人，因为大卫是一个王嘛。
Well, maybe you'd say, of course it's people like that. See, King David was a king.
亚伯拉罕也有好多的牛羊，
好像
是富有人家。
And Abraham came from a very well-to-do family, like he had a lot of cattle and sheep.
但是不要忘记，凡事都有一个起点。
But don't forget, everything traced back to the beginning point.
那大卫起初也是一个放羊的小孩。
David started off being just a shepherd boy.
甚至是他的弟兄里面最小的一位，最卑微的一个。
And he was actually the youngest in his family, so he was actually a nobody.
那我们也留意到这个家谱里面也有五位的女士。
And we also noticed five women being mentioned in this genealogy.
那是哪五位呢？那我邀请大家回去自己去找了。
And so I leave this with you to go home and find out who were the five women mentioned in Jesus Christ's genealogy.
但我会提到其中的几个。
But I will mention a few of them.
那为什么女士在这个家谱里面是我们看到的时候是这么的出奇呢？
So why is it astonishing to notice women being mentioned in this genealogy?
因为如果我们去到早期的年代，其实女人在社会上是没有地位的。
Because back in those days, women actually did not have any social status.
但是惊讶的就是在耶稣基督人类的救主的族谱里面提到了五位女士。
And yet, to our surprise, we find five women being mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus Christ.
而且至少有三位是外邦人。
And at least three of them were actually Gentiles, non-Jews.
我看到神并不偏待人。
So we can see that God actually does not show favoritism.
那是怎样的人才可以参与到神的这个救恩的工作里面？那神是乐意去祝福他们，也是祝福给他们的后裔的呢？
So what kind of people can be what kind of people will God choose to participate in His plan of salvation to first bless them and then through them to bring blessing upon other people?
那当我们去思想亚伯拉罕、大卫还有其中的一位女士就是路德的时候，
As we ponder on the lives of Abraham, David, and Ruth, one of the women mentioned,
那都会发现他们都是忠心 去回应神，也是全心去回应神的这些的人。
And you will find that all three of them responded to God faithfully and totally.
那神就是在寻找愿意为他对他忠心，愿意全心去跟随他的人，去参与在他的救恩计划里。
So God is looking for people who are willing to respond to Him totally, to participate in this plan of salvation.
不是在乎一个人的出身是否高贵啊，或者是这个人他很聪明，或者是很有才干。
So it's not based on whether a person comes from a good background, good family background, or whether a person is talented.
而是在乎这个人是否愿意去做一个忠心啊，一个全心啊，去寻求神没有回啊没有保留的一个人。
But it depends on whether that person is willing to faithfully respond to God without any reservation.
而鼓励的就是神是祝福这些忠心回应他的人的后代的。
And what's encouraging is that God even blesses the offspring, the descendants of these faithful servants of God.
甚至他们的后代也一起加入了这个神的救恩计划里面。
So even their descendants get to participate in God's plan of salvation.
比如说亚伯拉罕的后裔啊，可以说是也是大卫。
So, for example, David was one of Abraham's descendants, and he also participated in the plan of salvation.
是路德也是大卫的祖母。
And Ruth was actually the grandmother of David.
所以我们看到，若是我们想将祝福要留下什么值得珍藏的东西给我们的子女呢？那我们要首先问我们是否是一个忠心。回应神，全心回应神的人。
So if we want to leave anything of value to our children, to our future generations, then first let us ask ourselves, are we people who are responding to God faithfully and wholeheartedly?
那这个选择是在于我们。
This choice lies in us.
那究竟我们对神的心是怎样的呢？是否是忠诚？愿意去完全去回应他的人呢？
So how are our hearts like before God? Are we people who actually respond to God faithfully and wholeheartedly?
就好像我们观察这个大自然，神也是没有保留的为人类去安排了这个地球。
So when we look at nature, we can see that God actually makes everything so orderly and prepares everything for us.
那在历史，我们刚才也看到，在不同的时间段，神都是一直委身给人类去，为了他们能够脱离罪恶去，发热心去劳苦。
And even as we look back into history, all through the past generations, God has been very zealous for saving us from sin.
那我们是否也愿意像亚伟神这样子对人忠诚？没有保留的委身这样子的去回应他呢？
So are we willing to respond in the same way, just like how God is totally committed to us? Are we willing to commit ourselves to God totally, without reservation?
所以这个是跟大家分享的第一点，从家谱里面我们发现到神在不同的时间段都是为人的救恩去努力。
So this is the first point I want to share with you concerning the genealogy of Jesus, that God is working faithfully throughout the different generations for our salvation.
那也看到他美丽的性情是这么的忠诚，这么对我们没有保留的委身。
And from this we can see that God's character is beautiful because he's faithful and he's totally committed to us.
那在这个家谱里面，我们看到不同类型的人，神都去拣选他们参与在他的救恩里。
And from the genealogy, we saw that there were different people who got involved in this plan of salvation.
那神也赐福给这些忠心回应他的人，也赐福给他们的后代。
And God blessed these people, and also blessed their descendants.
可以经历到救恩，甚至参与在这个神的救恩计划里。
So that these people may experience salvation themselves and to participate in God's plan of salvation for the whole mankind.
这个决定就是在乎我们每一个人了。
So whether you want to be part of this, it's actually your choice.
那让我们来到这个信息的第二个重点。
So now let us come to the second point of our message today.
就是也是在第一节可以去看到。
And again, you can find it in verse 1.
那马太特别的在这里将耶稣是大卫的子孙摆在了亚伯拉罕之前。
You notice that Matthew deliberately put David before Abraham.
那他是想告诉我们什么呢？
What is he trying to tell us here?
其实他是想凸显一个重点。
He's actually trying to make a point.
还记得神应许大卫的这个的内容是什么吗？
Do you still remember what was the content of the promise God made with David?
那就是他的后裔当中有一位要建立神的殿，也要他的国也是永存的。
And it was that one of his from David's descendants, God is going to build his house, his temple, and also God is going to establish a kingdom that's eternal through his line.
所以马太特别将大卫的子孙放在前面，要表达的就是耶稣基督就是那一位神所高立的君王。
So the reason Matthew deliberately mentioned David first was to make this point stand out that Jesus Christ is that person through whom God is fulfilling this promise to David.
他就是神所高立的君王。
And that Jesus Christ is the king that God anointed.
就是这位弥赛亚君王。
He is the Messiah, the king.
那这个，所以王啊，或者是神的国度，这个主题呢，也是第一章跟第二章一个共同的主题。
So you'll find this common theme, about kings and kingship, kingdoms throughout chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Matthew.
就是神已经立了他的国的这个君王，就是耶稣基督。
That God has already appointed the king for his kingdom, and that is Jesus Christ.
就是这里所说的大卫的子孙。
And that's the offspring of David.
不单如此，当我们细细去看整卷的马太福音，会发现天国或者是这个神的国，天国就是神的国，神的王权的意思。那这个主题也是贯穿整个马太福音的。
Not only that, if you read through the entire Gospel of Matthew, you will find this recurring theme of the kingdom of heaven, which is actually the kingdom of God.
那这个主题是贯穿整个马太福音。
And this theme actually, and this theme is the underlying theme of the entire Gospel of Matthew.
那在神的国里面有一个君王。
And in the kingdom of God, there is a king.
是领受神的权柄去带领他的国度的。
Who has received authority from God to rule over his kingdom.
那这位君王就是马太福音一章一节开头这里所说大卫的子孙。
And this king is the one mentioned at the very beginning of the Gospel of Matthew.
就是耶稣基督。
Who's the offspring of David, and that's Jesus Christ.
所以当我们读明白第一章一节所凸显出来的这个强调，就是耶稣基督是神所高立的君王。
So once we grasp this emphasis made in Matthew chapter 1, then that Jesus Christ is the king anointed.Appointed by God.
那么我们要诚实地问自己，我们是否看得见神的国度呢？
Then let us ask ourselves, do we see the kingdom of God?
是否我们看得见神已经立耶稣作为天国的救主君王呢？
Can we see that God has already appointed Jesus to be the king over his kingdom?
当然，要看得见神的王权跟国度，是需要不是用肉眼去见证到的。
Of course, it's not with our physical eyes that we can see the kingdom of God.
那接下来我们会谈到一个人怎么样能够看得清楚神的王权。
And in the remaining time, we'll talk about how a person can see the kingship of God.
但是当我们明白马太福音一章一节的这个重点的时候，我们也要问自己是否是一个。我们要面临一个选择。
But as we find out about this main point, in Matthew 1, verse 1, we have to face with this choice, this decision.
那我们是否愿意让神借着耶稣基督来掌管我们的生命呢？
Whether we are willing to let Jesus Christ rule in our lives, or I should say, whether we are willing to let God rule in our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord.
我们究竟是顺服神的王权的人，还是抗拒神的王权的一个人呢？
Are we people who submit to God's kingship, or are we people who actually oppose to his or reject his kingship in our lives?
当然，我们当中有一些的慕道的朋友还在寻求啊，究竟有没有一位神？
Maybe there are friends in our midst who are still searching for answers whether God is real.
那怎么样才能够看得见神是真实的呢？
So how can we see whether God is real?
怎么样能够看见在这样子好像很混乱的时代，神仍然在掌权呢？
And how can we see that God is still in control in this chaotic world?
或是当中也有一些的朋友已经经历过神的真实。
Or maybe there are some of us who have experienced the reality of God.
但是当你想到神的王权啊，让基督做你生命的主，你是怎样的感受呢？
But when you are asked whether, but when you consider the kingship of God in your life, what is your attitude then?
是否有一些的抗拒，有一些的害怕？
Are you a bit scared, or maybe even a bit reluctant to let God rule in your life?
那其实有不同的原因去拦阻我们看得见神的国度跟。他已经立了耶稣为王。
Actually, there are several reasons or obstacles that prevent us from seeing the kingship or kingdom of God.
那有外在客观的因素。
There are the external factors.
那也有人心里面内在的态度的影响。
And there are also reasons due to our inner attitude.
是去拦阻我们去看得清楚神的国度，他的救恩计划，还有这个主耶稣已经是神国的王。
And these are the obstacles that prevent us from seeing God's salvation plan, from seeing the kingdom of God.
那可能我其中一个客观的元素就是在现今的社会已经没有再没有这样君主的制度了。
One of the more objective reasonsthat may prevent us from seeing God's kingship is that in modern society, you don't often see this hierarchy, or sorry, what?
君主制，就是
monarchy. Yeah, you don't find monarchy much in today's society.
如果有，也是已经演变成只是名义上是君王。
And even if we do find a so-called monarchy, it's actually only in name.
那可能我们更多的明白君主这个制度是从历史课本或者是我们一些的阅读里面看到。
And maybe we tend to read about monarchy in our history books.
而当我们去看历史书的时候，更多抓住我们的注意力的往往是一些的暴君。
And oftentimes, what caught our attention as we read about monarchy is are the monarchs or the is it monarchs?
Tyrants.
Yeah, tyrants.
历史的一些暴君人民怎么样要团结一致出来把他们推翻有一个革命。
And how people had to start a revolution in order to overthrow the tyrant.
比如说中国历史满清的这个朝代孙中山先生他起来。带领革命去推翻了满清政府。
For example, in the Qing Dynasty in China, Sun Zhongshan, I don't know his English name, sorry. This historical figure, Sun Zhongshan, had to come and lead a revolution to overthrow the Qing Dynasty.
或者是我们也读过法国的大革命。
We might have read about the French Revolution.
所以我们可能更认识的是历史书所说的这些的暴君。
So maybe we're more familiar with tyrants. We read about in history books.
或者是在现今的时代，在 一些电视的影集啊，或者是小说，我们也可以接触到这些君主制。
Or maybe through reading novels or TV series, when we watch TV series, we would come across monarchy.
特别最近一段时间，有一个流行的一个流行的趋势，就是喜欢描述王室里面这些的勾心斗角的一些的事情。
And actually, there's a trend today that likes to discuss about all these conflicts and rivalry, in the royalties.
那一些想要得到权力的人，他们怎么样去出卖别人啊？怎么样伤害别人，甚至杀害别人去得到这些权力
？And how some of them actually come up with various schemes in order to gain power.
那有一类的电视影集或者小说是用这些为主题的。
So some films or TV series or novels actually have their storyline based on these.
那在年轻人中也是很流行。
And it's actually quite popular among young people today.
所以当我们去想神做我们的王的时候，好多这些负面的概念都走进来。
So as soon as we start thinking about God as king, maybe a lot of these negative images came into our mind.
但是我们要去，所以刚才我说要诚实地问自己，哎，是怎样去对待神的王权，怎么样去对待神借着基督做我们生命的主这件的事情。
That's why I asked you just now. You have to be very honest with yourself. What is your attitude towards letting God rule in your life as king? What is your attitude towards letting Jesus rule in your life?
那如果有一些的拦阻，他们是什么呢？
If there are still obstacles, what are they?
是不是有一些外在的因素潜移默化的影响着我们？
Are there any external obstacles that have beenaffecting you, hindering you.
但是当我们有心去求问，哎，究竟神的国度啊，神是怎样去掌权的？那其实神会帮助我们去找到答案。
But if we really have a heart to seek answers, to understand how God actually rules in our lives, God will help us to find the answers.
那既然神立了基督做王，那基督他是怎么样去做王的呢？
Since God has already appointed Jesus as king, so actually, how does Jesus rule in God's kingdom?
那他有曾经教导过他的门徒吗？
Has he ever taught his disciples about this point?
那其实，在马太福音的20章25到26节，还有28节，主耶稣曾经这样说。
Actually, Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 to 26, and verses 25 to 28.
我们因为时间的缘故就不会细细的读。
Because of time, we won't go into detail.
但是我们可以看28节说，正如人子来，不是受人的服侍，乃是要服侍人，并且要舍命做多人的赎价。
Verse 28, Matthew chapter 20. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many.
那主耶稣已经用他生命的榜样，还有他的教导，向我们显明神国运作的原则。
Jesus has actually demonstrated with his own life, his life example, the principles at work in God's kingdom.
就是舍己的爱。
And that's a self-giving love. Sacrificial love.
甚至去到一个地步，愿意为对方舍命的这种。
And such love is.To an extent where you're willing to give up your life for the other person.
而不是自私自利去为自己去得到权利而伤害甚至杀害别人的这种。
Not like how people would fight for power, and just harming people, hurting each other.
那些有能力的人，主耶稣说反而要去担当那些软弱的人的重担。
And what's more, those who are stronger should bear the burden of those who are weak.
去服侍那些小的人。
To serve those to serve other people who may be less important or weaker than you.
当我们去想 这段经文的时候，其实会发现我们的造物主要也是这样子去运作的。
And as we ponder this message, you would find that God himself actually has this attitude of serving as well.
他虽然作为创造天地的主宰，
Even though he's the creator of the entire universe,
但是他是完全的委身给我们人类。
And yet, he is totally committed to us.
赐给我们生命的气息。
He gave us the breath of life.
也为我们人类灵魂的救恩去发热心。
And he's zealous for our salvation.
去服侍我们。
He serves us day and night.
所以这就是神国运作的一个原则。
So this is a principle you'll find in the kingdom of God.
不是自私自利，而是舍己付出。去爱对方，也去爱神的。
It's not self-centered, it's not selfish, but it's actually self-giving, and you love other people with this sacrificial love.
所以，当我们面对马太福音一章一节的这个重点，神的王权，基督作王，那希望我们不会被一些错误的概念去影响我们。
So as we study and learn about this, verse in Matthew chapter 1 verse 1 and about the theme of God's kingship, hope we won't be affected by all the negative things about God's kingship which you might find in your experience.
特别谈到这些外在的这些的我们所接触的这个背景啊，还有这个时代所给我们一些负面的价值观。
So hopefully we will not be affected by all these external factors or what we see in this day and age.
那怎样才能够看得清楚神的王权呢？
So how can we discern clearly about God's kingship?
还有关于神的国的事情呢？
And about the kingdom of God.
那圣经也有 给我们正面还有负面的一些的提醒。
And actually, the Bible gives us both the positive and the negative.
那主的话语提醒我们不要成为一类的人。
First, God's word reminds us not to be a particular kind of people.
这一类的人是看不见神的事情也是不愿意去看到的。
And this type of people cannot see the things of God, and even if they want to see, they just simply cannot.
就是在哥林多后书的四章二到四节。
And that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 2 to 4.
那在这里保罗他是说到他是怎么样传福音。
Here he talks about how Paul shares the gospel.
那他是怎么样帮助人能够知道神的真实。
And how Paul helps people to see the reality of God.
去经历到神的拯救。
To experience God's saving power.
所以我们看到在这个第二节这里他是说他将自己建于个人的良心。
And here you can see in verse 2 by the open statement of the truth we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God.
那所以我们要留心我们是否是一个听从我们良心提醒的一个人呢？
So let us be careful whether we are people who actually listen to our conscience.
如果我们良心提醒我们，我们常常习惯性的去拒绝，去不回应，那恐怕我们会落入到这样子瞎眼的境况。
If we are used to rejecting God's voice through our conscience, then I fear that sooner or later you'll fall into a state where you're just blinded.
那在第四节这里说到，世界的神反而有机可乘去弄瞎他们的心眼。
And verse 4.Mentions about the God of this world blinding the minds of the unbelievers.
那其实这里说到世界的神是指到撒旦。
And here, when it talks about the God of this world, it's actually referring to Satan, the devil.
因为当人落入到罪的境况当中，落入到罪的权势底下，其实是属于这个撒旦的国度的。
Because when people fall into the power of sin, then actually they are just under Satan's rule.
那所以这一段经文背后我们也看到，要么这个人是属于这个世界的神那边的，要不然就是属于亚伯神他那边的。
So from this passage, we can see that a person is either on God's side or he's on Satan's side.
那属于撒旦，如果我目前还没有属于神，那我们怎样才能看得清楚神国的事情呢？那这里重要的提醒就是不要蒙蔽良心的这个声音。
So if at this moment you are still not yet on God's side, how can we ensure that you will not be blinded from God's kingship? And that one important reminder is that we should never quench the voice of God through our conscience.
那恐怕我们会错过神的拯救，还有真正的生命。
Otherwise, we might miss out on God's salvation for us and miss out on this life that God longs to give to us.
那主的话语也有对一个人怎样才能够看得清楚神的事情、神的国度有一个正面的提醒。
God's word has also provided us with a positive reminder about how a person can discern clearly God's kingdom.
就是记录在马太福音的十一章二十五到二十六节。
And that's in Matthew chapter, sorry.
Chapter 11.
Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 26.
那这里说，那时耶稣说，父啊，天地的主，我感谢你，因为你将这些事向聪明通达的人就藏起来，向婴孩就显出来。父啊，是的，因为你的本意本是如此。
Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 26. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to infants.
所以如同主耶稣在这里的提醒，怎样才能够看得清楚神的事情，怎样的一个人是神乐意启示他的旨意，他的国度给他的呢？
So as we find in Jesus' teaching here, what kind of people can receive revelation from God about his will and his kingdom?
所以这里聪明通达跟婴孩有一个对比。
Here we see a contrast between those who are said to be wise and have understanding, and those who are infants.
那所以这里的提醒就是，我们需要有一个婴孩的态度，是谦卑，愿意去倚靠神的。
So here the reminder for us is that we should learn from the infants in being humble and totally relying on God.
不是自夸觉得自己知道。
And not to have this we know it all attitude, who think we know everything.
如果我们有这样谦卑开放的心去寻求神，那天父耶和华是乐意向我们启示关于他国度的事情的。
If we can have this humble attitude towards God, just like an infant, then God is more than willing to reveal to us things about his kingdom.
那时间差不多了，让我总结这个信息的第二点。
So let me summarize the second point of this message.
所以从马太福音的开头，我们看到所突出的重点就是耶稣是神所高立的这个君王。
So from the beginning of Matthew, we already saw Jesus Christ is the king appointed by God.
那我们要坦诚地问自己，是否看得见神的王权，还有他国度的宝贵。
So let us ask ourselves, can we actually see how precious it is about God's kingdom and his kingship in our lives?
那如果有抗拒或者是还看不见，那是什么原因呢？
And if you find resistance in your heart, then do you know what are the reasons?
那对于那些曾经立过约愿意将一生去交给神顺服在他王权底下的这些基督徒。
And for those who have already made a covenant with God, who already promised to submit themselves to God's kingship, these Christians,
那神是否能够借着耶稣基督在我们的生活中去掌权，去带领我们呢？
So can God actually rule freely in your lives through Jesus Christ to lead us in our everyday lives?
还是他只是有名无实的这样子一个君王呢？
Or is he also like one of the monarch, the kings in today's terms, where you're only king in name, but you don't actually have authority over your people?
所以我们今天看的内容是关于主耶稣的家谱。
So today we looked at the genealogy of Jesus Christ.
所以有两个重点。
And there are two main points.
就是亚伟神对人的忠诚跟委身。
The first point is about God's faithfulness and His total commitment to us.
在历史历代都是不断的去施行他的救恩工计划。
And He's carrying out His plan of salvation throughout the many generations.
在今天他同样也在寻找一些忠心全心回应他的人。
And today, he's still looking for people who are willing to respond to him faithfully and totally.
那我们若是这样的人，他也乐意赐福给我们的后裔。
And if we are this kind of people who would respond to him, God is willing to bless us and our descendants.
甚至他们也可以认识神，可以参与在这个救恩工作里。
So that they too may come to know God and participate in God's salvation plan for mankind.
那第二点就是我们看到关于基督的是神国的王。
The second point is about Jesus Christ being the king of God's kingdom, in God's kingdom.
那我们是否看得清楚这个事实呢？
Can we see this truth clearly?
我们是否是一个让基督在我们生命中掌权的一个人呢？
Are we someone who let God rule in our lives?
是效法耶稣基督的样式去服侍神，也彼此服侍的呢？
And do we imitate Jesus' example in serving other people and serving God.
那希望我们都可以从这段的这个经文里面得到神的提醒跟鼓励。
So may we all find reminders and encouragement from God's word in this passage.
那我们今天的信息就在这里结束。
So let us conclude here.
那我请 Grace 做一个结束的祷告。
So let us pray.